John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today on the Kathleen Dunn Show. What influences your vote? Politicians, their advisors, perhaps more importantly, their financial supporters want to know the answer to that question. Attack ads, mailers, literature hung on your door, stuffed in your mailbox, personal visits, talk show hosts, the list goes on. In the age of big data, however, it may turn out that search engines and the people who control the results of our searches may in fact be the deciding factor in who wins or loses an election. So the question this hour is, could Google decide the 2016 presidential race? My guest says yes. Dr. Robert Epstein is probably the most frequently quoted psychologist in the United States. He's the author of 15 books, researcher at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology, and former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today. Dr. Epstein, good afternoon, and thanks for talking with me today.
My pleasure, John.
You've written that our next presidential election could be rigged in secret by executives at Google Incorporated. That's pretty provocative. Do you mean that literally?
Oh, yes. No question about it. But there are other aspects of it that are actually even more disturbing, because even if the executives didn't make a conscious decision to put someone in office, their algorithm at this point is having a dramatic impact on elections around the world. So that's even without deliberate meddling.
Okay, so how did you come across this? What made you decide to research this?
Well, I got interested in taking a closer look at Google a few years ago when my website got hacked, as a lot of people's websites get hacked, and I found myself on a blacklist for a week. And I said, "Blacklist? Where did this come from? I mean, Google has a blacklist." So I started looking at the company a little more carefully. And I'm a researcher by trade. I've been a psychology professor and researcher for more than 30 years, and started looking at various aspects of their operations. And one thing that Ronald Robertson and I got interested in at one point was whether or not their search rankings, the search engine, could affect people's opinions and perhaps even their votes. There's a lot of research showing that search rankings affect what we buy, obviously. That's the main issue here, of course. But we wondered that because we have come to trust search rankings so much, I mean, after all, 50% of all clicks go to the top two items, we were wondering whether that trust could impact our decisions about a lot of things, not just purchases, and perhaps even impact our votes. So that started a research program a few years ago, and the research was just published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and we learned a lot, and we learned that, in fact, they can impact votes, and they can flip elections, and their algorithm has probably been determining the outcome of elections around the world for years, with increasing impact every single year as internet penetration is growing.
Do you have specific examples of this?
Well, the research involves randomized controlled studies. This is with more than 4,500 participants in two countries. And in the research, we randomly assign people, eligible voters, to different groups in which they see search rankings. These are, by the way, real search results connecting to real web pages, all from Google, in which people are randomly assigned to one group or another. And in one group, the search rankings favor one candidate, and another group, they favor a second candidate, and then there's usually a third group, which is a control group. And what we do is we see how people's opinions about the candidates shift and how their voting preferences shift as well. And it turns out that if one candidate is higher in search rankings, people end up liking that candidate more, trusting that candidate more, and are far more likely to vote for that candidate. So what you really have to do is ask yourself, wait a minute, does this happen in real life, in real elections? In other words, does one candidate ever rise to the top of Google search rankings? And the answer is, according to Google's own data, most definitely yes. And a prime example of that is President Obama.
Explain.
Well, sure. Right now, again, if you go and you search, Google, and you look at their political statistics, you will find right now that that Donald Trump is dominating search activity on Google in 47 out of 50 states. So Google tracks this, so not in every election around the world, but you know, in some cases they do track it. So what happens is, in that case where there's a lot of search activity, is a candidate rises to the top of search rankings, because that's one of the things that kind of pushes, you know, pushes things up in the rankings. There are lots of factors, according to their algorithm, you know, that push people up or push, you know, search results up higher. But what our research shows is that when you do that, you impact the undecided voter. It has a very big impact. We easily, in our experiments, could shift more than 20% of undecided voters toward whichever candidate was higher in search rankings. And in some demographic groups, we could shift as many as 80% of undecided voters. And we even found in the United States which group seems to be the most vulnerable to this kind of manipulation, and it turns out to be moderate Republicans. So there is no question at all that this is occurring, and that it's occurring on a massive scale. And it doesn't matter whether Google denies this. This is actually occurring right now. You know, the search engine does what it does. It puts some things higher than others. And our discovery, which we call SEME, by the way, S-E-M-E, for Search Engine Manipulation Effect, our discovery is simply that this impacts not just what people buy, but it impacts how people vote. And it has a big impact on how people vote.
800-642-1234. It's a different number than you're used to using to call the Kathleen Dunn Show. Want to know what you think about this. Is this something that concerns you? Are you somebody who uses Google to look for information about political candidates? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email address is the same, talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. You can also find the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook and leave your comment or question there, and we'll share it with our listeners. Dr. Epstein, I'm looking at the explanation that Google has on its homepage. I did a search to find out how Google ranks, how Google search works.
Right.
So, their algorithm is based, they say, on relevancy, and you talk about that a little bit in your article. And according to Google, relevancy is determined by over 200 factors, one of which is the page rank for a given page, which is itself a measure of the importance of a page based on the incoming links from other pages.
Right.
So, and that's how their algorithm works. If you've got a website that's getting a lot of action, you're going to go up in the search rankings.
Well, no one really knows for sure. This is just what they say publicly. But in fact, right now, it's big news today. I don't know if you've looked into this yet, but the Economic Times in India is reporting that an antitrust action has just been brought against Google, like the one that's already in play in Europe. That means that Google is facing multi-billion-dollar fines in India for ranking their own products and services ahead of the products and services of competitors. In other words, for biased search rankings. So no one actually knows for sure. You know, they can tell us anything they want, but there is no question that they do bias, that is, they do adjust search rankings to suit their needs. I mean, they're not a librarian at the public library. They're a business. They're a big business, you know, and their main job, you know, is hooking up us with advertisers. That is their main job. That's where 97% of their revenue comes from. So they do, without any doubt, I mean, the Federal Trade Commission found the same thing regarding their investigation of Google. They put things in an order that suits the company. So now the only question is it possible when an election is coming up that they might, you know, tinker with the ordering a little bit to favor one candidate? That really is the key question here. So now you've got to actually just look at the company's history. And in 2012, Google and its top executives, I write about this in a new article that's in Politico, donated more than $800,000 to Obama and $37,000 to Romney. According to the Wall Street Journal, the night before the election, Google's chair, Eric Schmidt, was personally overseeing a team, this is the Wall Street Journal, that was leading a you know, get-out-the-vote effort on behalf of Obama. So, you know, like a lot of big companies, they do at times strongly favor one candidate who they think is better for the company. And so now the question becomes, you know, is it possible that they're also, you know, meddling a little bit, just tinkering a little bit with those search rankings? If they are, this is a really serious problem. See, the point is they have the power to do it. That's the point. And the research is so clear on this, crystal clear, that if they do this, if for any reason one candidate ends up favored in those search rankings, that can drive, in a country this big, millions. We actually have the exact numbers. That can drive millions of votes toward that candidate with no one knowing that they're doing this and no way to counteract this. It's not like, you know, one candidate puts a billboard on one side of the street and the other candidate puts a billboard on the other side of the street. If the search rankings are favoring one candidate, there is absolutely no way to counteract this. And our research also shows that this is a virtually invisible source of influence. In the last big experiment we ran, which was in India with real voters in the middle of a real election, 99.5% of the people in our study had no idea that we were manipulating them, had no idea they were seeing biased rankings. So this is a very dangerous source of influence, completely invisible, very powerful.
Well, what I did was just now I Googled, could Google rig the 2016 election, ?
Sure.
And there were 474,000 results, and the first five, well, the second one, let's see, the third one down was the original article that this program came from. The first two were about that article, and the next two after that were quotes from that article. And then the sixth one was an article from someone who disagrees with you. So just playing the devil's advocate for just a moment here, if Google was really doing that, wouldn't they then want to manipulate search results so that if I put that question in, the article that criticizes your research would be at the top of the search?
Well, they are doing it. There are actually thousands of articles all about the research. There's only one article that is actually critical of it, which Google is behind. So they are doing it. But putting that sixth on your search results, that is very strong evidence that they're tinkering. But I mean, we don't need that as evidence. What I'm saying is that agencies, government agencies in Europe, in India, and the United States, and private studies have all found the same thing, that Google is a business and that it puts things in an order that is good for their bottom line. It's good for their profit. And if you were running Google, or if I were running Google, we would do the same thing. They're not librarians. This is a business, and they put things on that list that suit the company. So the fact that you found that one item, number six on that list, if you think about it, this is astonishing, considering there are literally thousands of articles that just talk about the new research. You see what I'm saying?
Most of those other articles, if I keep scrolling down, all refer to your original article.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, though,
it's impossible.
By habit we go to the second, if we just take the top two, if we don't really look past that. You know, I mean, and supposedly, I guess the question is then, There's a great risk here for Google, because if people don't trust the search engine results, they don't have a business.
Well, sort of, because, you know, what Google does, they do better than anyone else. So that trust that we have in Google, we don't actually have that level of trust for Bing. And Yahoo isn't even a real listing. Yahoo gets most of its search results from Bing, in other words, from the Microsoft company.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have that level of trust, you know, for other search results, which is why most search goes to Google. And most countries in the world, 90% of all search is done on Google because they do such a fabulous job. But do they do it perfectly? And is there never bias? No, they don't do it perfectly. And again, researchers looking at this around the world have found that there is often bias, and that the bias suits the company's needs, which makes sense. Again, this is not the public's library. This is a big business where almost 100% of their revenue comes from hooking up advertisers with potential buyers. That's what they actually do. So we are Google's product. The only reason the search engine exists is to tabulate information about us, and then that information is basically sold to advertisers. So we are actually the product that's being sold. So the search engine itself, we have the illusion that, you know, it's a public service provided by a bunch of cool geeks. It's not a public service provided by a bunch of cool geeks. That's not what it is. But, you know, here's one problem, John. What you're looking at on your screen is not going to be what I see on my screen, and that's a serious problem also. So regulators who are now looking into the search engine manipulation effect, because regulators are very interested in our research, obviously, they are really stuck, because Google more and more is sending out customized rankings. So whatever computer you're using, whether it's your organization's computer or your personal one, Google knows exactly, you know, which computer that is. And they're sending you rankings that they're not necessarily sending to other people. Those are called customized rankings. They're getting much better at doing this. And the reason they do it, you know, again, it has to do with the revenue model, is because the better they are at connecting up these advertisers with just the right potential buyer, the more money they make. So the problem with customized rankings is it means that what you're seeing is not necessarily what I'm seeing. So they're sending things that they think you want to see, and they send things to me that they think I want to see, and this makes it very hard for regulators to detect bias, and in particular to detect bias, you know, or the manipulation of elections.
Mm-hmm. And I want to come back to the regulation question. We need to take a break,
sure.
And I want to give our listeners a chance to join in, because we're starting to get quite a few phone calls. Again, the number a little different today because Kathleen's not in, and John Munson is sitting in for her. Boy, I'm starting to talk about myself in the third person. That is not a good sign. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Are you concerned about the search engine manipulation effect of impacting our next election? My guest is Dr. Robert Epstein, and he has conducted some research into this and says it's possible for Google to rig the election in 2016, and he's very concerned about it, thinks you should be too. Are you? What questions do you have about the research and about Google itself? 800-642-1234. Look for the Kathleen Dunn Show Facebook page and leave your comment or question there. You can also send an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. We'll be back with Dr. Epstein and your calls in just a moment. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn on the Kathleen Dunn Show today. This hour, we're talking about Google and its effect on undecided voters. Wondering what you think. My guest is Dr. Robert Epstein, author of 15 books, a researcher at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology, and former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today. Dr. Epstein, one of the questions that I wanted us to be sure to cover, because I think it's pretty important, is what do we know about undecided voter behavior in terms of where they go for information? So your assumption is that we all or a great number of people, particularly those who are undecided voters, will go to Google and will search for information about candidates, thus exposing them to the kind of manipulation you say is going on. But isn't it just as likely, and some would say even more likely, that these same people are probably getting most of their information off social media, at links they find there that are posted by their friends and other people who agree with them?
Yes, no question about it. We always ask people in our various studies, and we've replicated this effect 7 times now, by the way, with almost 10,000 people. We always ask, you know, do you use online search? You know, how many times a day do you search? Have you ever gotten information about candidates this way and so on? And what's happening is that the numbers, of course, are going up. So you're absolutely right. But unfortunately, the bottom line here is that more and more people are getting their information about candidates online, and more people are using Google as a kind of gateway for information. So whatever the numbers are now, and they're somewhere between 60% and 85% of people, believe it or not, in the U.S. get some information about candidates through a search engine. Whatever those numbers are now, they're just going to keep going up. So, you know, it is a source of influence. I'm not saying it's the only one, by no means, but it is a source of influence. There is another problem, too, is that most of the other sources of influence out there, they're kind of in your face. So if you're on social media, you know, people are saying, we love Trump, you can see it. You can see the influence. See what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. It's like the billboard or the TV commercial. The problem with SEM, the search engine manipulation effect, is people can't see it. They not only can they not see it, but even the very few people in our studies who are aware that they're seeing biased search rankings, and they're very few, but even those few people, those people still shift their opinions in the direction of the candidate we have chosen for them, and they shift even more than people who are not aware that they're being manipulated. They shift even more. And presumably they shift even more because of the way we view search results. I mean, search results are supposed to put one thing higher than another. They're supposed to figure out what's best. So the few people who do notice the bias in search rankings, and there are very few, they go, oh, well, look at this. The search engine is biased in favor of, you know, Obama or whatever, and therefore Obama must be better. It's a kind of social proof. So it's a very unusual source of influence, but you're quite right. It's not the only source of influence.
We have callers who want to join us and a line available for you if you would care to participate. 800-642-1234. That's a different number than the one you're used to calling for the Kathleen Dunn Show. 800-642-1234. Let's start in Lake Zurich, Illinois, where Sarah is on the line. Sarah, good afternoon.
Hi, John. Hi, professor, psychologist person. I'm sorry. I'm just calling to say...
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I'm just calling because I love to use DuckDuckGo once I discovered that it existed, and you know, most people don't know it exists, and there are other search engines, and boy, the difference in what I get. I mean, I get a lot of the same results from Google and DuckDuckGo, but I do notice differences, and I wonder what that means about the algorithms. And it's just sad that people, like you're saying, people just look at Google as the source of rankings, I mean, of information, and I don't think most people realize it's a business. And yesterday I substitute taught in an elementary school, and they gave me a computer class for some reason, and the lesson plan was to teach them to do research papers and use Google to look for information, and I just thought, you know, how sad. Now these kids are just indoctrinated to think Google is like the librarian, and they don't know that there's choices.
And Sarah, Google tracks every single thing they do, but DuckDuckGo does not track So I've got a tip for all of you guys, for all your listeners. Here's something you don't know. If you use startpage.com, which is what I use, startpage.com gives you full access to Google without tracking you. So in other words, you should never, ever actually go directly to google.com. You should always use startpage.com, and you have full access to Google and no tracking.
Sarah, thanks for that call. Let's go to Elizabeth in Madison next. Elizabeth, hello.
Hi. I have two questions, two things I need clarified that don't, that the information about Google is fascinating and very educational, but I don't quite see how this hooks up with an election, because if I'm interested in curtains, if I enter curtains, and I can understand that maybe JCPenney might come up higher than Macy's, but I don't understand what somebody would be putting into the search engine if they weren't looking for a particular candidate, if they, and how one candidate could be favored over the other. And the other thing that I don't understand is if Google sends me things that, as the guest said, they think I want to hear, then wouldn't that just reinforce what I already, the candidate I already have some opinions about? Why would it shift my opinion? Seems like it would just reinforce what I was already going to vote for.
Well, let's take the first question first. What search terms are we talking about? What are people searching for that produces these results?
Well, there are hundreds of search terms that people type in every day that bring up election-related results. So if you could type in something like immigration, for example, or taxes, or you could type one of the candidates' names, obviously. But the point is there are actually hundreds. And whenever, again, a candidate is mentioned favorably in one of the search results that's ranked highly, that shifts people's opinions. Now, as to your second question, which is really a very good question, is, you know, the people who are already committed, already decided, those people are completely irrelevant, as any candidate will tell you. Those people are irrelevant. The people who count in elections, especially close ones, are the undecided. The people can be tipped. And that's where this phenomenon theme comes into play. It's the people who can be tipped. And there's no company or entity in the world, other than Google that has more information about who these people are than Google. They know exactly who the undecided people are because, of course, they collect so much information about us. So that's the answer to your question is, again, there are hundreds of search terms that bring up information about candidates, and the people who are undecided, those are the ones who tip. And what our research shows, and I myself was shocked by the numbers, is that they can be tipped very easily. I thought this was going to be a very, very small effect, a very small phenomenon, and it's not. In the first experiments we did, we easily increased the proportion of people supporting one candidate or another. And remember that we're using random assignment here, by between 37% and 63%. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to tip people when they're, you know, kind of on the cusp. So, you know, think back to 2012. The last week or so of the election, because it was supposed to be a squeaker, there were tens of millions of dollars being poured into just a few counties in the United States. I think it was 16 counties, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. I mean, massive amount of money, huge media blitzes, because those were the counties that were going to determine which way, those swing states went. And so those swing voters are very important in close elections. And what we've discovered is that there is no more powerful way to flip swing voters than this phenomenon, just using biased search ranking.
Now, my political science professors pretty much were unanimous in telling me when I was an undergrad all those years ago that the most important people for any politicians are the ones who actually vote, because that's who decides who wins and loses. What do we know about What do we know about undecided or uncommitted or on the fence voters in terms of whether or not they actually show up at the polls? I mean, I may be a fan of the Milwaukee Brewers, for example, and never buy a ticket to a game. I could like President Obama and never go vote. I could say, yeah, he's an all right guy, or maybe or whoever is running. But if I don't vote, what good is your influence?
Well, that's another issue that researchers are now looking at. But the fact is, you know, I mentioned to you earlier that the Wall Street Journal found that the night before the 2012 election, Google's chairman, Eric Schmidt, was personally leading a get-out-the-vote team to try to get people out to vote for Obama. And it turns out that that's another thing you can do invisibly on the Internet. There's even a published study that was done in association with Facebook showing that on one particular voting day, when get-out-the-vote messages were sent to 60 million Facebook viewers, that resulted in more than 300,000 people voting who otherwise would not have voted that day. So, you know, and again, that's an invisible source of influence on the Internet, which has been called digital gerrymandering. It's another way to flip an election.
So, okay, but that was social media. That wasn't a search engine. That was social media, which we talked about earlier.
Oh, no question about it. And again, that wasn't social media doing its usual thing. Those were literally ads being posted deliberately by Facebook, you know, working with researchers to see how this could be done. So SEAM is not the only, I said that before, it's not the only source of influence, but it's a huge source of influence, much, much bigger than we thought it would be. And it's invisible, and there's no counteracting it. So, you know, it's something we should be concerned about. It's not the only thing we should be concerned about.
Okay, let's. We have a number of other callers who want to join the discussion. Let's go to Oshkosh next, where Jake is with us. Jake, hello.
Hello. Thank you, John. I have a question to the guest with a follow-up question, depending on how he wants to answer it. Do the other search engines do the same thing as Google regarding their system?
Well, the other search engines could do this, but they don't have much traffic compared to Google. So 75% of all search in the U.S. is done on Google, and around the world, the number is about 90%. So if there were lots and lots of search engines and they were all being used equally, so, you know, think about our supermarkets, for example, something like that, this wouldn't be as much of a threat to democracy. But given that around the world, for all intents and purposes, there's just one search engine. That makes this a very serious problem. That's why both the European Union and India you know, have initiated these massive antitrust actions against Google, because it is a monopoly in most countries. And when it comes to elections, that means there's no counteracting what Google does. And it doesn't have to be, I just want to emphasize, it doesn't have to be a Google executive or a rogue employee. It could just be the algorithm itself doing what it does that pushes one candidate up higher in rankings, and that in turn could drive millions of votes.
Well, if it is the algorithm, how is that biased? I mean, if the algorithm is doing what it's supposed to do, what it's designed to do, are you saying the algorithm itself has an inherent bias built into it?
Well, that's what it's for. Of course, that's what it's for. The algorithm ranks things. It's built to show bias. In other words, to say this web page here is better than that web page. But I'm surprised you're not kind of appalled by that possibility, because that possibility, which we call, you know, the algorithm scenario, to me personally, that's the scariest possibility, because what that means, if it's just the algorithm doing it, that means that for years and years now, in close elections, our elected officials have been put into office by a computer program. And to me, that makes democracy meaningless.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at is if Google gives me search results based on relevance, and the relevance is based on, maybe it's based on my past searches, maybe it's based sure. on my past web viewing, maybe it's based on the fact that I bought my lunch at Burger King today. Please don't tell my wife. whatever this is based on, I used a credit card and I went to this convenience store instead of that convenience store. If all of those things about me, if all that big data that's out there, and this has been a huge issue for privacy, people who are interested in privacy and so forth. I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from here, because it's supposed to show me the results that are the most relevant to whatever it is I'm looking for. And right. what I'm wondering is how it would be possible for them to not do that. I mean, if all of the search results were just completely random, that would sort of obviate the whole purpose of having a search engine, wouldn't it?
Well, see, they have to not do that. That's why they're facing right now more than 5 billion euros in fines in the European Union and more than $5 billion in fines in India. They have to not do that. They can't. When it comes to, to buying umbrellas or something, I don't know. I suppose they can do what they want as long as they're not, deliberately favoring their own products over those of other companies, which, of course, is what they do. But when it comes to elections, there has to be something like an equal time rule. Given how impactful search rankings are and how much people trust them and how easily they flip undecided voters, they can't just do the normal thing that they do. They can't do that. It makes democracy completely meaningless. There has to be something like an equal time rule, which is how we protect democracy on radio and television in the United States. Our research also shows, for example, that once a candidate is boosted higher in rankings, not only does that flip undecided voters, but because it's flipping voters, that increases search activity for that candidate, which boosts the candidate even higher. So there's a possibility here of a kind of digital bandwagon effect. In a mathematical model that we published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, we show that this digital bandwagon phenomenon could cause an explosion of support for one candidate in the days before an election. This is very likely what happened, by the way, in the 2012 election, which was still pretty close. But, Obama ended up winning it by about, 3.9%. It was still pretty close, but it wasn't anywhere near as close as people thought it was going to be based on all the polling.
Okay, so, but at the time,
the
time, what was credited for the victory was that Obama had a better ground game than Romney did, and that there were massive problems with the GOP's get out the vote software and things that happened on election day that went very, very wrong for them. No one was suggesting at the time that there was that the result in 2012 was based on search engines.
Right, but in fact, we have data, and I can send you a link to it that you can put up on your website. We have Google's own data showing the difference in search activity for Obama and Romney, and before that for Obama and McCain, showing much higher search activity for Obama. That could easily have been driven by the search engine. And again, we have those differences in donations. We know that Google strongly favored Obama in the election, and we know now that Google employees, according to the Wall Street Journal, a recent article, have visited the White House about 250 times since Obama came into office. That's about 10 times what other companies have done. And I think 7 top administrators in the Obama administration, including his chief technology officer, are all former Google executives. And let me just add that Hillary Clinton recently hired as her chief technology officer Stephanie Hannon, who the day before was a top executive at Google. So there is a very, very strong relationship between Google and certain candidates. And again, they have this power to drive millions of votes toward whichever candidate they choose. So whether they're using it or not, or how they're using it, is irrelevant. They have that power, and the question is, do we want them to? Can I just get back to one thing that you said earlier, because I looked it up, and it's kind of shocking. You mentioned that when you looked up my recent article in Politico, which is called "Could Google Rig the 2016 Election," that the sixth item that you found, which was from a website called shoutingloudly.com, was negative. So I checked it during our little break on Alexa, and that website has an Alexa rank of over a million, meaning it doesn't even exist. It has no traffic. It is practically invisible on the internet. How could it possibly end up being number six in Google rankings unless that is deliberate? It's impossible. That can't be an objective selection on the part of an objective algorithm. That's impossible, given that there are thousands of positive articles about the research. How does this one negative piece end up number six when it's on a website that has, again, an Alexa rank of over a million, meaning it's ranked past one millionth? You see what I'm saying?
Sure. We need to get to a break. We'll pick this up. We'll pick this up when we come back. And we have quite a few phone calls to and people with questions. We want to make sure that they have a chance to ask them. So we'll do that in just a moment. We're talking about whether or not Google could rig the next election. My guest says yes, and we're wondering what you think. 800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org, or find the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook and leave your comment or question there. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking with Dr. Robert Epstein, who has come up with some research that says that Google could rig the 2016 election, and it may have already done so in the past. And we're wondering what you think. 800-642-1234. Let's take a call here from Sandra in Mount Pleasant. Sandra, hello.
Hi. Dr. Epstein, are you as upset by this alleged Google problem, and or is this more of a problem or equal to the Supreme Court ruling allowing unlimited and undisclosed money to politicians to use to influence the voters? I feel this is more of a threat to democracy. That ruling is what appalls me and is a major threat to who controls elections.
Well, I agree with you completely. There, you know, these recent rulings, the one allowing corporations to donate as much as they want and to be treated as if they're individual citizens, I find to be very threatening. So, yeah, there are a lot of problems here. I think democracy is being assaulted left and right. But I am most troubled, to answer your question specifically, I'm most troubled by factors which are actually invisible to people. And, you know, a lot of the donations now that can be made anonymously. That's invisible. That bothers me. And this search engine manipulation effect is also invisible. That bothers me, too. So I'm most bothered by these invisible phenomena that people don't see, but that can easily be flipping elections. I think we've got some serious problems right now.
All right, Sandra, thanks for the call. Let's go next to Wanda in Tomahawk.
Hi,
Wanda,
yeah.
Hello.
I was listening, and it was just a movie kind of popped into my head. It was, I can't remember the name of the movie. It was with Robin Williams, and his name was Cobb, and he was a comedian, and he was running for president. And his girlfriend ended up finding out that the algorithms of this company that she worked for, basically he ended up being or was going to become president because he had the two B's in his name. And I was just wondering, I mean, yeah, like you say, is our vote going to count due to these algorithms? I mean.
Well, as I was saying earlier to John, to me, of all the possible scenarios here, the one that I find scariest is the fact that a computer program, without any meddling by individuals, a computer program might be selecting you know, our next president or a lot of our elected officials. That I think that's crazy.
The name of that movie, by the way, was Man of the Year. In terms of the research itself, okay, recent trends in election research, have they been in the area? I mean, your research was basically lab-based. What do we know about what happens actually in the field? In other words, again, going back to this, how do we know that these undecided voters are actually voting?
Right. Well, our first experiments were lab-based. That is true. But the most important experiment that was in this new research piece in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences was not lab-based. It was with more than 2,000 real voters in the middle of an extremely intense election last year in India, their national election. And so, you know, those are real voters, and this phenomenon still works with real voters in the middle of a real
election. I guess we have to assume then, if this is true, that there is some massive conspiracy at Google. And the problem with massive conspiracies is that they don't stay secret very long.
Well, no, I disagree completely. I don't think there's a conspiracy. I've never said anything like that. And in fact, I've never actually even accused any individuals at Google of doing anything other than, you know, what the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times has reported. So I don't think that's true at all. I'm talking about what's possible for them to do. And that's something we all need to be thinking about at this point, because whatever they're actually doing is one thing, but the fact that they have this power, I think we all need to be concerned about that. The fact that the algorithm all by itself has probably been having an impact, possibly even deciding the outcomes of upwards of 25% of the national elections in the world for years, I think it's something we need to think about. There's no conspiracy there. That's just you know, the way this search engine manipulation phenomenon works. A lot of elections are close. You know, SEAM pushes undecided voters, and you know, that determines who wins. I just think it's something we can't ignore. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, could we be talking, well, what can be done? I mean, we only got about 2 minutes left here.
Sure.
Is there a way, I mean, you talked about having some sort of equal time provision for search engines. Is there a practical way to regulate the way search engines operate that doesn't destroy the way they function?
Absolutely. Ronald Robertson and I, in our most recent experiments, with thousands of people in multiple countries, so this has not been published yet, that's exactly what we're looking at. We're looking at browser add-ons, for example, that could, you know, could show alerts indicating that, you know, this election-related material appears to be biased in favor of whoever it is, you know, Trump or Cruz. We're looking at how alerts, you know, might suppress this effect. How, you know, changing the order a bit or changing what appears in that first position might suppress the effect. So that's exactly what we're looking at. We're trying to basically give some practical guidance to regulators, you know, to help them protect voters. You know, I just don't think we can ignore this, is what I'm saying.
I'm not suggesting that that's what we should do. In fact, I'm not suggesting anything except that what it all comes down to, though, no matter what you do, it comes down to whether or not you can trust what you see on your computer screen. And so if there's some other algorithm that gives us a warning, how do we know we can trust that? I mean, at some point, we have to be able to intelligently read what we see and make decisions based on logic and rationality as a way of avoiding manipulation, just like we have to filter things we see in television or hear on the radio.
But here, again, there's a monopoly. So in most countries, there is no possible balance, no way to counteract what's happening. So bottom line, I know we're running out of time, is what troubles me most about this is that this research is so rock solid, and it's being replicated in other places now, too. that why isn't Google coming forward and expressing concern and saying we're going to study this and we're going to figure out how to protect voters, and that's not what they're doing. Okay. And that's my biggest concern here. Why aren't they doing that if they're really a do-no-evil company? Why don't they say, hey, this is fascinating, you know, we're going to study this and we're going to work with our people, we're going to work with the scholars, and we're going to figure out how this works, and we're going to protect the voter. Why aren't they saying that?
Well, that would be a question Google will have to answer. Dr. Epstein, thank you for spending this hour with me.
Thank you, John.
Dr. Robert Epstein is the author of 15 books and a researcher at American Institute for Behavior Research and Technology and former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today. K.P. Whaley produced this hour of programming. We had on-air production help from Michelle Good this hour, and K.P. also served as the show director. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. 1 hour more to come on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.